We're certainly glad for each one of you here. Before we start, let me invite you to stand, take your Bibles, and repeat after me. This is my Bible. I believe it to be the Word of the Living God. And I covenant with Him that I will study it every day. I want God's will to be done in my life. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. I want to be like Jesus. Loving Father, again you have heard our desire, and we would ask that, yes, we would be like Jesus. Father, we want to thank you for the blessings that you bestow upon us. And as we open your word, we can find encouragement even in these days of disappointment. We ask now, Father, that you would make your Spirit present in our lives and that our hearts and our understanding would be open and we would leave this place knowing that we have been with Jesus. Bless me as I bring the message today. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Signs of Jesus' coming. Signs of change. When you take inventory of your life, have you seen any change take place? I remember when you could buy a soda for a dime, you could buy a gallon of gasoline for 22 cents. I remember when the telephone was fastened on the wall and you had to use a crank to get your rings out. Or when the rings came in, my grandmother's ring was two longs and two shorts. The taxi in town was eight short. You know, and you learned how to operate that thing. Some of you can remember when the telephone, when the new telephones came out, and they had a, you know, the numbers, the nine or ten numbers was there, was on a dial. That wasn't so long ago, was it? Especially when you compare it with today, you can carry the thing around in your pocket. You could even take pictures with it, and if you like, you can send these pictures. Just push a couple of buttons, and you can send that picture off to one of your friends or your loved ones. Change has taken place, hasn't it? Can you remember when the phrase was used, sound as a dollar? Not sound anymore. I want to talk about signs of Jesus coming this morning. In Matthew chapter 24, from our text this morning, now as he sat up on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when will these things be and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age. You know, when I became a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, I remember as we studied and the urgency, and folks, Don and I, as we studied, you know, we didn't think that we would see the time when we would rear our boys, get them even through high school, let alone through university. Jesus surely was going to come. We talked about He's coming soon. How soon is soon? Did you appreciate your Sabbath school lesson this past week? Wilhelmina, you did a great job this morning. You know, it's on prayer. Does God hear our prayers? Lord, when are you going to come? I don't think I can deal with the trials and tribulation that has come into my life. When, Lord, are you coming? And that still small voice speaks, soon. Do you know that the Bible speaks of a new world order? And it seems like whatever God as, the devil as a counterfeit. Now I'm going to ask you who can, just go back 18 or 20 years ago. For some of you, you can do that. The president at that particular time was Ronald Reagan. You remember him. A good number of you remember him, don't you? It was at that particular time the New World Order, or the phrase, began to be used in the media. It was frequently used by government officials. And the Bible speaks about this new world order, but the devil as a counterfeit. Several times the Bible clearly predicts this one world government. We're going to begin our study this morning in the book of Revelation, chapter 13. Let me invite you to open your Bibles there, if you will, and by the time we're finished, by God's grace, you will understand what change is all about, and we should better understand the closeness of the coming of Jesus. Revelation 13, starting in verse 8 and verses 12. All who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Verse 9, if anyone has an ear, let him hear. And verse 12 says, and he exercised all the authority of the first beast in his presence, and caused the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Now this text is speaking about this counterfeit, this worldwide order of government or worldwide control, and it says clearly here that all the world will worship him, this beast power. In the same book, Revelation chapter 17, this is an awesome chapter when you get into it. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying, come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Now go down to verse 15. Then he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. And the ten horns which you saw on the beast, they will hate the harlot, make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. That don't sound too good, does it? For God has put into their hearts to fulfill his purpose to be of one mind and give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. And verse 18, and a woman whom you saw is this great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. Now when you open up different Bible commentaries and different scholars, this beast power is identified as the Catholic hierarchy, or the Catholic Church. And it talks about the power that this church has. A woman in Bible prophecy represents the church, we're told in Scripture, in Jeremiah 6 verse 2 and 2 Corinthians 11 verse 2. It identifies that this woman in Bible prophecy represents the church. But here in chapter 17, we're talking about a harlot woman. It's not a pure woman. And in verse chapter 17, as you read on, beginning in verse 3, it says, "So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet-colored beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication." Now, that's not some woman that you would desire to associate yourself with, is it? "And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and the abomination of the earth." What's it all about? Now, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time identifying this harlot woman this morning, other than the fact I'm telling you, it's speaking of a religious power. And Bible scholars have identified that power as Catholicism. Here, the Bible talks about a power that has worldwide control, but notice that in harmony with Daniel 2, one earthly dictator will not have complete control. Now, Satan would have us think that some individual or some power is going to have control over this old earth, but Daniel 2 refutes this. Go back to the book of Daniel, if you will, Daniel chapter 2. We're still dealing with Bible prophecy. Daniel chapter 2, verses 43 and 44. It says, "And you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay. They will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand how long? Forever." So here we see, on one side, we see the devil now is trying to make this counterfeit, but over on the other side, we see that God has a kingdom and it's going to stand forever. Now, the devil would try to deceive mankind into thinking that we can set up this one world government on earth today and it would stand forever. But that's not what the Bible says. So here we see in Daniel chapter 2 that there's going to be more than one king at the time when Christ comes. There's not going to be one, there's going to be more. So how does verse 43 in Daniel 2, which says that there will be no adherence between these kingdoms, relate to Revelation 17 verse 1 that refers to a world dominating power? As usual, the Bible makes it very clear. Go back to Revelation chapter 17 with me again, if you will. Revelation chapter 17 verse 12. "The ten horns which you saw are ten kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast." So we have identified this beast power as a religious organization, and scholars have determined that it was Catholicism. And this beast power allows these other kings or these other nations to reign with him in the space of 1 hour. Now, it is not to be taken literal. It is symbolic. Here we have a coalition of world governments under the authority of the beast. Verse 13 says, they are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. Revelation 17, verse 13. So consistent with Daniel 2, there is never going to be a one world dictator, but many government leaders will all be working together under the authority of the beast. This is what Revelation is saying. Have there been any plans laid to bring about this one world order? There is. First, there was President Ronald Reagan. Do you remember President Reagan, Pope John Paul II, and Gorbachev? Remember when they came on television together? Now tell me something. How could three individuals, one who is a communist and an atheist, another who is the head over the largest Christian church, and another who is the president of a country who claims to adhere to Christian values and principles and say that their goals and their vision for the world is the same? Time magazine, December 11th. I'm taking you back some time now. December 11th, 1989. We have a new president at this time. It reports now a meeting between Gorbachev and George Bush with the startling headlines, Building a New World. Now, we're not talking about George Walker Bush, we're talking about his father. President Bush had this to say: we have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible UN uses its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN founders. Now just think, as you've been watching the news over this last 15 years or so, we have had peace conferences, we have had councils on public or foreign relations, we had institutes of international prayer, we had a trilateral council, and within the UN, have they been able to bring about peace? No, not yet. Over these last few years, we have seen a movement for a cashless society. We're all acquainted with electronic banking today, aren't we? Bank cards, credit cards, and debit cards, and personal computers. We're all acquainted with them. I'm talking about the modern steps that are being taken today towards the formation of this one world government that will fulfill Bible prophecy. And a cashless society is one of them, but this couldn't happen without the phenomena or the explosion of personal computers. The computer is being used to set up an environment in which will be conducive to what the Bible says is going to happen in Revelation 13, verses 16 through 17. Let's look at this together. Talking about this beast power. And he performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. You see, there's no more efficient way to control who buys and sells than through computerization. It would be very difficult to control what we buy or who would buy it without the computer. You see, the computer is one of the foundational implementations upon which the possibility of this entire scenario becoming a reality. And you and I are living in these days. We are beginning now to understand the steps that are intended to move us towards this one world order that the devil is behind setting up. Do you have a driver's license? I'm sure that you do. I came and left my wallet. I was going to show you my license on it. It has a picture, a likeness of me, an image of me. But if you turn that license over on the back, you know, since this all happened now since 9/11, on the back there's one of these strips. It's a magnetic strip. You see, when a policeman stops you today, he can take your card and run it through, and he knows all kinds of stuff about you. He knows how many speeding tickets you got. He knows whether you're a felon. He knows where, you know, some people tell me they know where your bank accounts are, how much money you got in the bank. They know all about you on this strip. Now, I am not exactly sure, but I have come to the conclusion that some of what they say is there. Now, I told you about this. I was out visiting Sister Grace and Donald before he passed. And as I was coming out of Barnwell, I came up the hill, and the sign says, out in front of me as you come down the hill, the sign says 45 miles an hour. And I sped up to 45 miles an hour, but I saw the policeman already down at the bottom of the hill. And when he saw me, he turned around and he came up over the median. The lights were blinking, and by this time I was through the lights, and I realized that it was me that he was after, and I pulled off the road. He took my license. He was really nasty. He took my license and he came back in a few minutes after, and his whole effect, his whole attitude was changed. He knew about me. Instead of giving me a ticket for speeding, because I questioned him, you know, at the beginning, I said, the sign says 45, but he says, it don't begin 45 until you get to the sign. It was merely a technicality, but I guess the city of Barnwell needs money, so any way that they can get it, they're going to. But he says, look, I won't give you a speeding ticket, but I will give you a ticket for $25 for not wearing your seatbelt. Now, I had my seatbelt on. I could have stayed there and argued with the man. But the point that I'm trying to make, when he came back to the car, his old attitude had changed. He knew who I was. He knew where I lived. He knew all about me. In fact, his attitude had so changed that he told me that he lives in Aiken. And he spoke then about his relationship with is church. So remember, when you get stopped by the policeman and you give him that card, he's going to run that thing or put it on the screen, and that little mental thing across the bottom tells all about you and your activities where you from, where you have been, where you have held license before. Did you have any felonies or any problems in other states? They can check all that kind of stuff out. This is one of the steps that's being taken to bring about this one world order. Another step that is being taken to have this world, new world order, is to control the environment. You see, we really face some big issues today when it comes to the environment that's drastically affecting us today, isn't it? The Bible clearly predicts that there will be environmental problems in the last days. Look at Revelation chapter 16, verses 3 and 10. Then the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it became blood as of a dead man, and every living creature in the sea died. Do you know that one of the biggest problems that we have with marine life in America is, what's that heavy metal that's, what is it? Mercury. You know, it is not until you get way up into northern Canada before the mercury drops out of the fish. But even some of them, the bigger fish that you catch up there, has mercury in them. It's because they migrate to the south. Look at verse 10. Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues because of the pain. This is describing environmental problems, friends. With the cutting of the rainforest and the melting ice caps, these things have caused great concern. For several years now, we have been experiencing the fallout from China's industrial explosion. We are experiencing China's smog right here in America and Canada today. I was watching the History Channel a while back, and it talked about how these large food companies are controlling the production of food. Now, why would they want to control the production of food? If they can control the production of food, they can control you and me. Do you know what they're doing? They are manipulating our vegetables. For instance, they grow bigger, they look pretty, but they're less nutritious. Do you know that they can do something with the corn? I'll just pick on corn, for instance. That it can grow 7 and 8 feet tall. It can be huge ears of corn, but you can't take that ear of corn and dry it and take the corn and use it as seed next year, because they have rendered it sterile. Potato. I love potatoes, but they have genetically changed the things where they grow bigger and they don't have some of the root rot and some of the problems that they have, but they have rendered them sterile that you cannot take that potato and cut the hides off and plant them in the ground and have potatoes come back. Yeah, the stalks will grow up to be nice and look great, but there's not a potato under the stalk. Can you see how they're going to control us? Up in Canada, just a few years ago, less than 5 years ago, I was reading about these large food companies who were trying to put the organic farmers out of business. You see, you put the organic farmer out of business, and you're not going to have natural seed. You're only going to get the seed that they give you. They've manipulated the animals. For instance, we have fish farms. Have you ever been to a fish farm? You know, they've manipulated them. They fill them with steroids and all kinds of things. They grow big, and they look just absolutely beautiful specimen. But they're hardly palatable to eat. But you go into the store, and that's all, most of what you're buying today is this farm-grown fish. You know, scientists, I've read it, and this is the truth, I read it. They have manipulated the genes of these animals that, you know, that they can take the gene of a rat and put it into a fish, and the fish will grow and have fur. Now, can you imagine what's going to happen to our ecology, or, you know, some of these things break open and they get out there into the ocean. It was just a couple of weeks ago they were talking about the sockeye salmon. They're not going up into the rivers. You know, in the Pacific, you know, the Pacific salmon. So what they're blaming is the people from the East Coast taking the Atlantic salmon and taking them over to the West Coast and starting fish farms. And some of these farms, you know, the fish has got away and they've amalgamated with the sockeye salmon. Now the salmon are confused. They're not going up to the rivers. And they think that, you know, within just a few more years, you won't have any salmon. Wow, it just boggles your mind. What I'm trying to help you understand today is that steps are being taken to bring about this new world order. The developments are unfolding. They're devised from the imaginative minds of men, prompted by the designs of Satan himself. You would think by now that Satan would have taken notice what God said in Daniel 2:43, they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. These nations will never come together where there's going to be a one world order. You see, these plans are in direct contrast to what God has made clear in His Word. But they are, however, in harmony what God predicts was going to take place before He comes the second time. And folks, we are living in these days that closeness of Jesus is nearer than ever before. Fortunately, though, by simply reading God's Word, we can see what is truly going to happen. In Daniel 2:44 it says, "And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." Friends, this is the new world order. This is the order that God is going to bring about. And we look forward to this new world order that is going to be set up by Jesus Himself. Don't worry about the counterfeit. Yes, we have to live in the world, but we don't have to be a part of the world. That's what 1 John 4:4 tells us, isn't it? So Jesus is coming again. In Matthew 24:27 it says, "For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." The Bible tells us that that when Jesus comes, every eye will see Him. It's not just going to be a few people. It's something that nobody can ignore. In Revelation 1:7, it says, "Every eye shall see Him." Matthew 24:30, it says, well, let me read the whole text. "Behold, He is coming with clouds, and every eye will see Him, even they who pierced Him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of Him. Even so, amen. The Son of Man will appear in the heavens, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. It's not going to be a situation where people disappear and others are left wondering what happened. The Bible says that when Jesus comes, every eye shall see Him. Not only shall we see Him, but we will hear Him. In 1 Thessalonians 4:16 it says, For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Do you think you will hear it when God shouts or the angels begin to blow that trumpet? Do you think you will notice when them graves are opened and the dead in Christ begin to rise? I think everybody will know and understand what's happening. In Matthew 24:31 it says, And He will send His angels with a great shout and a trumpet, and they will gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Absolutely nothing secret about it. This is awesome. You know, every one of us as an angel that has been given to us at birth, assigned just to me, an angel assigned just to you. He's referred to in Scripture as your guardian angel. Can you imagine what it's going to be like on that day when Jesus comes with all His angels? And who knows you better than anybody else? Your guardian angel. He comes to get you and present you to Jesus. What a marvelous experience that's going to be. The Bible says that on that day the wicked will hide themselves in the caves and the rocks and the mountains and say to the mountains and the rocks, Fall on us and hide us from the face of Him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of His wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Revelation 6, verses 16 and 17. You see, not only will you see it, but you will hear it. There is going to be also glory that is connected with Jesus when He comes. And talking about talking about Jesus in Matthew 17:2, it says, And He was transfigured before them. This is on the Mount of Transfiguration. And His face shone like the sun, and His clothes became white as light. Luke 9:26 tells us that Jesus will come back in His glory, His Father's glory, and the glory of all His angels. You see, the disciples got a taste of this with Christ there on the Mount of Transfiguration, where they recorded that His face shone like the sun. And all of us are going to experience this. We're going to experience Christ in all of His glory. In the Old Testament, it speaks of Moses when he was 40 days up there on Mount Sinai. He asked God, could he see His face? And God says, no man can look up on me and live, but He says, I'll do this for you. He put him in a cleft of the rock, or there's a hole in the rock somehow, and he put his hand over it and walked by, and Moses saw his hinder parts. When God walked by, Moses saw love and compassion. And it tells us, in the story, it tells us when Moses came down from the mountain, when he picked up the Ten Commandments, and he came down from the mountain, his face was aglow with light. And Aaron and the elders came out, and they says, Moses, Moses, the people can't stand it. Put a veil over your face. See, Moses' face was shining bright from looking at God's glory, and the children of Israel were afraid to come near him. Now, let me ask you something. if the reflected glory of God is so bright that man can't look upon it, what will it be like when he comes into fullness of his glory? There's also another account talking about this glory. It's about Jesus. Remember when he was in the tomb, Scripture says that a single angel came and rolled back the stone in Matthew chapter 28, verses 2 and 3. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothes as white as snow. One angel, whose countenance was like lightning. How many angels are there? Scripture speaks of 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. I guess billions of them. And he brings all his angels with him. Now, folks, is there going to be anything secret when Jesus comes in the sky with all his holy angels, the brightness, the glory? And along with that, they're going to be singing and shouting praises to God, and they're going to be blowing trumpets. There's absolutely nothing secret about it. Daniel 2:44, let me read it again. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and his kingdom shall stand forever. Oh, what a day. God's new world order is much less manipulative, much more secure, and diametrically more impressive than man's idea of a new world order, don't you think? Jesus is coming again. So the question is, how is it with you this morning? Have you decided to be a citizen of his kingdom? Are you ready to trade man's new world order for God's new world order? I am. I look forward to the day when Jesus comes in the clouds of glory. But in the meantime, we have to live in this old world. We will pray. We will put our trust. We will hold steadfast. And we'll sleep safely under the wings of the Almighty God. He will care for his people. It gives us hope, gives us confidence, doesn't it? May God bless us as we continue each day to spend some time with him. And as we spend time with him, our confidence grows. We can trust him. He's coming soon.